Good morning, everyone. Last night we had discussed about understanding. So I just want to raise it again. Please help to elaborate more about the object of the understanding.
Now, always now. It means that the understanding of the path or the teachings of Buddha, the Buddha, is not enough. Otherwise, one realizes that this moment is only the moment which can be object of understanding, because that which has gone, and that which hasn't come yet does not appear now. So any moment, any reality, not just you want to have only this object or that object.
So understanding understand the characteristic of the realities, or understanding the reality?
That's what Buddha taught for 45 years, because it's not easy for the person who has accumulated lots of avijja, ignorance and attachment, just to hear and understand immediately. That's why we have to listen again and again, because ignorance cannot understand this at all. What appears now cannot be understood because of ignorance. So the more there is the understanding, the less ignorance is. Don't think about realizing the nature of that which appears now. It needs time to think about it over and over. Listen more about the reality, the characteristics of what appears now.
Can understanding understand the characteristic of the ignorant as well? I mean,
understanding understands everything.
I don't understand exactly what your question is. I think that you are asking about what the object of panya is at this moment, because we've discussed so much about different realities, like seeing an invisible object, as you know. So is it like an idea that it should be a particular reality that is the object of panya at this moment? Because if that is the idea, it's like selecting an object, saying it should be a visible object first or sound first. That would be the idea of someone, something, utter belief that of a particular one, like trying to understand or trying to be aware. That's not the right path. Is that the point?
I'm trying to understand that.
Why not listen?
Why not?
Instead, I'm trying. Yeah. You cannot try to understand the way Buddha taught. But from listening, one begins to understand what is what. And that is the beginning of the path leading to understand better and better of that which now appears.
Another way of looking at it is that panya would understand what is real at the present moment. I think you're thinking about dhammas and their characteristics as being somehow different, or a different aspect of the same thing. But that is the book approach, what we read in the texts. But actually, it's just a description of what is the present moment. If seeing is real at the present moment, it can be the object of understanding. Visible object is real at the present moment, it can be the object of understanding. And so whatever description we give to what panya understands, it is what is real at the present moment. That's the important thing. We're not looking for characteristics or looking for particular dhammas, but it's what is appearing now is understood by panya.
Like there is the idea that, okay, although we hear about all these different realities and they're all anatta and it depends on conditions what will arise and what will be known, but it's like there's still the idea that I should control panya and I should select what panya should know at this moment, forgetting that panya is conditioned, so leave panya to arise when it's the right time, not try to make it arise, not try to know what it should know. because this is utter belief, self-belief.
One more thing. A lot of analyzing. Sorry. So, Panya itself understand the characteristic of Panya as well?
So Panya is right understanding, but when there is the idea that I should make Panya arise, or what should Panya know at this moment, then behind that idea there is no Panya at that moment. It's the idea of self, I can do. But because we're talking about Panya and the object of Panya, we don't realize that actually that kind of thinking is motivated by the idea of self.
Is there Panya now?
I guess not.
Try to make it arise, or just listen to have the understanding, even intellectual understanding, to begin to understand the path, the words of the teaching leads to detachment all the way from the very beginning, not what can I do, or I am trying. It's a very subtle that even such idea is motivated by the self more and more and more, so it hinders the understanding. But what everyone knows that everyone has lots of kilesa, ignorance, attachment, and so on. So very, very thick from eons and eons ago. So it's not just one to understand or try to do, but from hearing this, considering and having more confidence on, this is not self. It is not self. Like seeing now, the first moment of hearing, that is not enough. It takes time more and more for 45 years of Buddha until the conditions for right awareness can arise, be aware with right understanding of that little by little. So from the very beginning, no expectation even for the sammasati or right awareness at all. Otherwise, it's motivated every time when it's hearing the teaching of the Buddha. How can I?
And that is the big obstacle or hindrance to the development of Panya arising. Trying to make it or trying to know the object it should know at this moment. It's not the development of understanding, it's the development of clinging and trying to make Panya arise.
Actually, I got the point. Listening to the Dharma, reflect that time to time, I'm raised the question here is just to discuss about it more clearer. Yeah, thank you.
There's a little bit of a background issue that's going on at the moment. This is daily life because Ajahn has been trying to help people in Thailand appreciate more the value of really studying the teachings carefully, including the Vinaya, and trying to explain to the government and anyone in Thailand why it's important to really study and follow the rules and stick carefully to the Buddha's teachings. Would you say a little bit more about the importance of the Vinaya and all aspects of the teachings so that they're not lost?
There must be the understanding of what Vinaya is and the teaching is. Teaching is all about whatever appears now. And that is Vinaya as well, because it takes away ignorance and not understanding reality right now as not self. But people in the Buddhist time listen to the teachings because of understanding of one's own accumulation, which is quite different from the others. We don't have to copy or follow the other's way of life. But having right understanding, it begins to see naturally that it is accumulated. Even the manners of standing, looking, teaching, or whatever. So, or to understand that nothing is I at all. It begins like nothing is I at all. And from hearing, there's no idea that how can I understand my own accumulation? How can I try? Just know that it's impossible. Impossible. Just it's time to listen, then it's listen by conditions, not as before that you'd like to listen. So life follows daily life very naturally. Time to eat, time to think, time to be happy, amused, or whatever. It doesn't matter at all because they are real and they are that which is conditioned by the accumulations from life to life. So it arises just for right understanding to know that it's not self. But right understanding is not keen enough. That's why it's try to break that which appears to be as no one. But it's impossible. Knowing or understanding that it's impossible to change the way of life. Otherwise, it's the subtle of lopa, attachment to the self, which is there all the time, sneaks in all the time, unknowingly. That's why it has to be natural. No aim, no thought of wanting to. But when it's time to listen, you turn the radio and you do whatever as usual, daily life. And understanding that is conditioned, even turning on the radio or the tape or whatever. See, it has to be so natural. Otherwise, lopa is there, unknown, until panya is keen enough to be able to know, to understand what's there as not self, but as attachment all day. See? So it has to be not only one lifetime task to develop understanding, because it's the moment of having less ignorance and attachment, which is so hard. It's like digging the mountain with your fingernail. See, how many times in this life, and what big or great the mountain is, and what about the fingernail, which digs the mountain little at a time. So no idea about can I have enlightenment in this life? How much I know in this life? But listen, and at any moment, if there is right condition, it begins to understand each move, each moment, as it's conditioned, that's all. It's conditioned to see, to hear, to think each moment in one's life. Until then, that panya can understand better and better. Without expectation for how much I begin or understand seeing right now, it's useless, because it's the I, not the moment when it is conditioned to be such.
And you said that even Vinaya is the understanding of reality, because it's about dharmas and manners and behavior and the nature of cittas. Would you say a little more about the importance of preserving the Vinaya for the understanding of realities?
For the lay people, there must be Vinaya as well. Otherwise, it is not well behaved at all. So the teaching is the understanding of the teaching condition the Vinaya of lay people to follow the teaching, to understand the danger of akusla, of killing and so forth. But for those who have great accumulation, to develop right understanding in the manners of not lay people anymore, no one can stop that person not to become monk or whatever in that time. But it's not just I want to. Without understanding nothing at all, just see the very attractive way of living of monk and just want to follow, it's wrong. It's so very, very dangerous for that person, because of the kilesa is there all day. So without understanding, how can there be the Vinaya to get rid of Askusala? That's why before becoming a monk, there must be the understanding of the teachings. It's not just wanting to be without any understanding. And also there must be the determination from previous life, because there are more understanding enough to know that monk's life and lay people's life are quite different. That's why before becoming a monk, there must be the very good understanding of teachings enough for that person to become monk. And to understand all the Vinayas before becoming a monk, to be sure whether he or she can follow the rules. If not, don't try. Don't think of becoming a monk, because it's so very dangerous. Because people, lay people, can do anything, cooking and so on, but the monk cannot do anything like lay people anymore. His life lived with the very simple requisite, like food from the others. And the way they give them is not just by the monk asks, but by standing without any word. For those who see the benefit of helping those who have such goodness to live different from them, so they give alms and place to live and the very needed things for monks. Very, very simple life, never ask for anything at all. It's so very more details about the Vinaya that even this is said, there must be other sub-way practice or follow besides that. Many, many details, very subtle, and subtle of studying Dhamma. And in the Buddha's time, the Venerable Upali is the most foremost in Vinaya. Not Sariputta, not Moggallana. They have different accumulations. They can eat meal like lay people, must be very careful, polite, and before having any meal, they must be considering about the teachings. This is just for living. Only that. In order to develop understanding of the teaching, only that.
I heard from one monk who explained that during the Buddha time, there are some rules that were set just out of the need for to show for other people. They can be changed over time. Like, I forgot about the example, but many rules that are set just because otherwise lay people would think bad about the monks' community, but it's only concerns with the culture at that time. And so today, when the culture is different, so some rules are not so necessary anymore. And I think he included the talking alone with a woman, for example. Would you have any comment about
many,
this?
Many details about talking to women. Only few words. Or it has to be on Dhamma only. And there must be a man or the boy who knows about the words is there too. See, you see that it's quite very, very detailed, that it takes the special one to study Vinaya. Because otherwise, nobody knows that. Can the Buddha's word be changed? Is it possible for Buddha to change his word? Impossible. So no matter it's the teachings about the truth, because it's the absolute truth, it cannot be changed. As well as Vinaya, as it has the absolute rules for monk, only monk that can observe, it cannot be changed, no matter what time it is, in the past, or present, or future. If one respects Buddha sincerely, one knows whether one will be monk or lay people.
And if there is the idea that the rules can be changed because the nature of society has changed, it's actually just like saying dharmas can be changed because now we live in a different world, so maybe no need for, maybe abstaining from killing isn't a good thing anymore, or anything, or realities are different today. But actually, this kind of idea is what leads to the rapid decline of the teachings, because the teachings are for all times, for all societies, for all cultures.
And that person doesn't know who Buddha was at all.
And for example, the rules like eating garlic.
For female monks.
For female monks, yeah. So that, for example, I agree that killing is akusala, anytime, anywhere. But eating garlic,
it depends on what the cause for Buddha to set that rule. Because the female monk went and picked all the garlic from the other's garden and so forth, because of attachment to the sensual subject. So the vinaya is for becoming detached from all the human, all the lay people's life. One cannot do that because of desire to have it conditioned the way the female monk in the past went away to the somebody's garden and picked up.
They still consider stealing from them, or no?
We have to understand Vinaya in details, because there are exceptions, because it's not exception but it's sub-rule by such and such situation.
But I think if there was to be any change, if there was to be any change, it would have to be a change decided by the Sangha. So it doesn't mean that individual monks can elect not to follow particular rules, because this possibility of change is, I think, usually cited by monks to support their not wishing to follow certain rules.
But I think it's not monks in any time. It has to be monks when there is, after Buddha's death, 3 months later, they have their Sankhayana.
The question of change of minor rules was discussed at the first council, and it was decided that no change would be made.
Not monks or the council of monks today at all.
No. And after that, that was it. No possibility of any change at all, as decided by the arhats at that time. So just because people today may not understand the reason or the value or have other ideas or issues doesn't mean it's a reason that they know better than the Buddha and the arhats of that time.
So we know that there are 4 offenses. If the monk they don't respect, then they would be not considered monks anymore. But what about the minor offenses? If a monk, for example, keeping money, for example, if a monk keeps money, is
give
it not one
receive,
of the 4?
Give or receive?
Either one is different.
Does monk have money?
No.
So how can he give money?
I mean keep.
Keep.
Yes, keep. Receive, yes.
Keep. Can he receive money?
Not according to the Vinaya.
Even at that moment it indicates that his habits is not monk, but a slave people.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of qualities of the monk, you can see that it is not a quality of a monk, but in terms of the the Vinaya.
Yes.
It's not the major offenses.
It's so not
the major, like the four parachika.
It's not the four parachika. It means that that man can, what you call, make it be forgiven by monks or council of monks. It depends on the rule of that.
And make forgiven and not do it again, right?
They can be a monk and associate or do as the other monks do, to keep company with the monk. Otherwise, he's not out of the company of monk. Mm-hmm. If it's not forgiven by doing what Vinaya said to do.
Mm-hmm. And today, I think that there are a lot of monks who do have money, and it has become something quite common. And although they do their patimokkha every fourth day, but if everyone keeps, you know, having money, so that means that, you know, there's no forgiving actually happening, right?
It depends on today, not repent. Tomorrow, maybe, who knows? So it's quite very detailed about how to be forgiven by the council of monk or by one monk or two monks, and the person shouldn't do it again. Otherwise, it's useless.
And just because it's not a parajika offence doesn't mean it's not serious and major. Doesn't mean that it's minor offence, especially if it's repeated, like if once perhaps taken by accident or some lapse and it's forgiven and resolved not to do it again, that's one thing. But if it's the habit always taking money, then actually that person is not a bhikkhu, not living as a bhikkhu.
For example, in our case, before the Dhamma, the Dhamma discussions, my friend and my family support me some money to gave me some money to support us for traveling to Ho Chi Minh City and here. So how can I travel from my town, because I was staying with my mother from my hometown to Ho Chi Minh City and here with our money.
Kun Jonathan knows Vinaya better than
anyone else. No, I don't know Vinaya in detail, but the question is not how could I travel if I didn't use money. The question is, are there ways of traveling without using money? If not, then you can't travel, because compliance with the Vinaya is more important than going where you want to go. But there are ways without money. In the old days, the lay supporters would buy a ticket for the monk, because the monk, I understand, is allowed to receive a ticket for travel. There are ways of doing it if you put your mind to it. Nowadays, I think the easy way is just to say, oh, I need to use money because I have to travel. We're talking about bhikkhus now. It doesn't apply to people who have not ordained, have full ordination. But if they are sincere in being a monk, then the Vinaya has to be followed.
And that is for bhikkhus, because actually today there is no order of bhikkhunis anywhere in the world, because the order of bhikkhunis died out a long time ago, so it's impossible for anyone to be ordained today as a bhikkhuni. So it doesn't mean if you like to live in a temple or dress like this, that's no problem at all. But actually, if you know for yourself that really there are no bhikkhunis today, then you can handle money and you can travel and do anything you like and no problem or obstacle at all. Because in reality today, only some bhikkhus and many bhikkhus who think they are bhikkhus actually are not really bhikkhus because they don't follow the Vinaya properly. But the bhikkhuni order passed away many hundred years ago. And in fact, this is one of the issues that is being discussed in Thailand, because people would like to say there is an order of nuns, a bhikkhuni order, and they talk about human rights or female rights. But the Buddha's teaching is much more important than any modern idea we might have about human rights or female rights. So perhaps it's good news, because actually if one doesn't consider oneself as bhikkhuni, you can travel where you like, you can handle money, you can listen to the Dharma, no obstacle at all. But maybe Ajahn will say more.
Have you learned about the Vinaya of bhikkhuni? So you are not bhikkhuni. Because, pardon?
I'm not a bhikkhuni.
Good, good, very good. You are not bhikkhuni, right? Very good to know that. Because as lay people can wear any color, any way of blouse and whatever one likes. In Thailand, some wear black and white. It doesn't matter at all, as long as that person understands that she's not bhikkhuni, but she tries to live like that, but she's not bhikkhuni. Is that what you say? You think you are not bhikkhuni, but you live the way that you like, to wear what you like, to do what you like, following the teachings as much as possible. But I think that for lay people, they can follow Vinaya as much, but don't need to wear anything for the others to mistake them for monk or not lay people.
Ajahn and Trish Master, the three of us who have come here to listen to the Dharma, out of our respect to all of you, and I have listened to what you've said, and although I don't understand it fully, I get the main points that you are discussing about. And although I don't mean to reject what you have been saying, and I don't mean to that I have the authorities on the subject, I just would like to mention about bhikkhu body, because bhikkhu body is someone that Kunina and all of you know, and he's the one I believe to have the authorities on the subject, and she read many articles that bhikkhu body wrote about this and taking the defense of the ordination of the bhikkhuni today, and he based his arguments on the sutta and the Vinaya, his arguments is very sharp and very solid and protecting the case of the ordination of bhikkhuni today. And again, I want to stress that it is not my objection, but I just want to share that, and it's just like listening about a subject being discussed. Before coming here, we asked the permission from our preceptors, and out of metta and compassion, our preceptor allowed us to come here and listen to you.
What for? What for? Listen to the teachings. What for?
And she said that, again, I would like to express my gratitude and my respect to all you have shared with us. because it's the teaching. And when the preceptor allowed me to come here, she also said that whenever you have some opinions or ideas, you can also speak up and share your ideas. But again, she didn't mean to object to what you said, because whatever you share is also helpful to them. So please, our metta and compassion, just keep sharing your ideas and your knowledge.
We are always your good friends and for everyone. And we come here to understand the truth, which is so very subtle and very difficult to understand. In order to become truthful to the truth, we have to understand each word. And if you think that what word is not right, not true, please, we will study just one word at a time. Like the different lives of monk and lay people. Are they different? Monks have to follow the rules set by the Buddha himself, not by the other, like Sariputta or Moggallana or anyone at all. Out of his great understanding, great wisdom, virtue, and compassion, he knew what is suitable for anyone who would follow that life in order to understand the teachings and develop understanding in that life, which is so pure. That's why he set rules from 1 to 3 to until 227 rules, that anyone who read and understand that will respect the person who can follow that very much, how great and how highly accumulated to become such pure and holy person. That's why, if not, it's so dangerous, because one have to see why living lay people life is not enough for one, for anyone in the world now who does know anything about the accumulation so great to become a monk yet. See, that's why people understand the truth from his teaching, so that some are lay people and some are monks, because of understanding one's own accumulation, that it can follow the rules of monk very happily. Only those who can do that, study the teachings very happily, peacefully, and know that they live very pure life. While the lay people know about this, so they help monks to have that which is needed for living in the monk's life. That's why the company of the Buddhas are monks and lay people helping one another, because the lay people get what from monk? Understanding from his pure life, which all day long, listening to the teachings and contemplating, and it can condition moment of direct awareness depending on conditions. So people, lay people know that, so they offer everything to let that person live monk's life. So there must be the difference between lay people's life and monk's life, even from the Buddha time, and even one word of the Buddha cannot be changed at all. Once a monk had the parachika, and that monk went to Ananda and asked from Nanda to please ask to given to pardon that person in order that we will follow the Vinaya so great, not as before. He would like to become monk, because for Parajika, that person can never be monk the whole life. But he had intention to follow the monk's rule so much, but he had Parajika. So Anand went to Buddha and asked about him to pardon this monk's behavior. I think it the first Parajika. And Buddha said, never, my words couldn't be changed at all. So anyone who would like to follow the monk's rule have to study the rules and see whether it's possible or not possible, because lay people could become enlightened in the Buddha's time. Many of them, Ananda Bindika, Visakha, and many, many of the lay people up to be anagami. So lay people's life do not hinder the enlightenment of the truth at all, because they're so true, to be truthful to their own accumulation, to accumulate understanding in their lay life. So it depends on to be truthful to everything, otherwise it hinders the growth of understanding of the teachings. And it's so dangerous if that is not the following of the teachings of the Buddha. And you know what apatti and plong apatti, please tell them about. Once one has break the rules and one would like to be among it, that is plong apatti.
It's a kind of confession, to make confession, apatti. That is part of the process. A rule has been breached. He is to confess the misdeed and resolve not to repeat the offence, to do everything possible not to repeat the offence. So he must have the sincere intention not to repeat the offence. Obviously, if he makes confession but is not sincere about giving up the conduct, such as for the use of money, then he's not really making proper confession. But the Buddha said that whoever acknowledges a misdeed and resolves to do their best not to repeat it with kusala citta, that is prokama.
And even in the Buddha's time, there's a monk who left lay people's life, becoming a monk, and left the monkhood again, seven times. Yeah. So anyone who knows that it's not possible for that person to follow the rules of the monk can be lay people at any time. Just tell the other, I'm not a monk anymore. That's all.
So actually today, for the monk who can't follow all the rules because, for example, he wants to keep money or whatever else, or for any of you who realize that actually it's impossible to follow all the rules of the bhikkhuni, or actually impossible to be even ordained as a bhikkhuni today, it's better for that man or that woman to tell the others, actually I'm not a monk or I'm not a bhikkhuni, because then however they behave or however they dress or however they act, it's not creating the bad karma that it is if one lives as a monk and says one is a monk and leads the lay people to think one is a monk, but actually one's not following those rules. This is what Ajahn mentioned. It's very dangerous. The repercussion and the result is very serious for that person, and it leads to the decline of the teachings because other people are misled into thinking that that person really is a monk. So if that person cannot follow the rules, better to admit it and say, okay, I'm staying in the temple, or I like to dress like this, but in truth, I'm not a bhikkhu.
You know, people like me today who have listened to the teaching as a lay person and who have read a little bit into the Vinaya and see how difficult it is to keep all the rules of the Vinaya, I've come to the conclusion that for me it's better to lead a lay life and to be surrounded with other friends who have the same interest in the Dharma, and by conditions listen to the Dharma when there's opportunities. But I wonder for some people, for them, they feel that the life with their families is not the life that they want to live, because it's some, for some people, they living with their family means that it's very hard to go to have association with good friends, opportunity to listen to the Dharma. And for those people, they think that being away from home and having the support of a community of like-minded people. So what would be the solution for those people? Without, because now today, many lay people, they don't know all these details about what is a monk and what is not a monk. So they, whoever has the dress and shape the hair, for them it's a monk. So for them, they are supporting a monk. So for them, I don't see exactly what is the solution. Could you please comment?
I think that if a person doesn't want to lead a household life with family, there's nothing to force the person to do so. It's not as though one either has to live within a family or become an ascetic. A person can live a single life alone, more or less, apart from close relatives and so forth, but without ordaining or taking on robes. It's up to an individual to live whatever style of life they wish to do. There is no question of it being either one or the other.
No matter monks or lay people, the truth is the truth. They have to develop the understanding of the truth, no matter at what time, good time or bad time, it's true. So it does mean that living home life and follow the monk's rule is much better, because without understanding, it's not better, because it cannot understand the truth of reality at that moment. While the lay people who understand that they couldn't become a monk can develop understanding whatever situation it is, and then can become like the monk who does not understand anything at all and follow the rules. But lay people who understand and follow the kusala ways of living can attain enlightenment as sotapanna, sakadagami, and anagami. And after becoming arahata, that person leave the home life because no conditions to live like lay people anymore.
And I think that it all comes back to the development of right understanding, like we discussed yesterday, really, whether we are here or in the forest or in the busy city in Hong Kong where we live, or helping our mother in the mental institution, this seeing, this hearing, this touching, this hardness, different realities. So the more understanding that life exists in a moment, just this moment, the less one thinks about another time or situation would be better for the development of understanding, even if one's with one's family and there are demands and annoyances, or even if they say one cannot come here, there are still realities. And it just depends on conditions, how life goes. We don't know, like today we had a little medical issue. We didn't know whether tomorrow we will be here or we have to leave to go back to Hong Kong. But anyway, seeing this, hearing different realities. So the more understanding about what is real now, what is true at this moment, the less concerned one is about whether one is here or there or in this place or that place, because Dharma is Dharma, and there's more and more confidence that this is what is most important in life, and one can share what little understanding one has with other people, no matter at home or wherever one is. And those around one can be one's good Dharma friends. Like for us, We consider you our Dharma friends. However you are dressed, it doesn't matter at all.
The most important thing is know who you are, especially on Dharma's path, the reality, kilesa, ignorance, and to be truthful to, if one would like to be a monk, one has to understand the truth of reality and also the benefit of becoming a monk by read all the monk's rules and see whether you can follow to be good monk.
And the fact that it would be more convenient for one or one's Dharma study to live in a temple and dress in a particular way is not a reason, it's not a good reason at all for wearing those clothes, because if one isn't really ordaining as a bhikkhu and very sincerely intending to follow all those rules, one's actions just lead to the decline of the teachings, and it's like being untruthful, pretending to be something that one isn't just for one's own personal convenience.
Could you please elaborate more about why today lineage of bhikkhuni actually doesn't exist anymore? Why the ordination of bhikkhuni is not considered valid?
As I recall, because for the ordination of bhikkhus or bhikkhunis to be the right or the appropriate ordination, that bhikkhu or bhikkhuni must be ordained by the other monks or bhikkhunis in order for the lineage to continue. And several hundred years ago in Sri Lanka, where the bhikkhuni order was still maintained, as I recall, there was a famine and the order of bhikkhunis died out. So no more bhikkhunis to ordain other bhikkhunis, because there are many regulations about the ordination ceremony, how many bhikkhus are present, how many bhikkhunis are present. So the order died out at that time, and once it's died out, it cannot be reinstated. It's the same for the bhikkhu order. Once the true or correct bhikkhus no longer exist, other people cannot be ordained as bhikkhus if it's not by those people. And there are many other regulations or details about the ordination, how it has to be conducted in the correct Pali and how it has to be in the particular place with the Sima, is it, and many details about the ordination ceremony. So if it's not conducted appropriately and if there are no true bhikkhunis present, then cannot be reinstated, no matter what any highly respected modern author might say.
What about the bhikkhuni who went to, I don't remember the name, but then they later became the bhikkhuni of Mahayana lineage?
It's like in Taiwan, many bhikkhunis ordain and they have bhikkhuni of Mahayana lineage, but those bhikkhunis have not been properly ordained and they are not bhikkhunis following not only all the 227 rules of the monk, but extra rules, especially for the bhikkhuni. So actually for the bhikkhuni's life, even harder in the Buddha's time, even harder than for the bhikkhu, because not only 227 rules, but many extra rules as well. So this is not a true lineage for the bhikkhunis in Mahayana tradition.
It's been acknowledged in the Theravada community for centuries that the order of bhikkhunis has ceased to exist. So the arguments about reintroduction of the bhikkhuni order are modern-day arguments entirely. So people are finding a way to justify that because they want to see it happen.
And monkhood or monk's life is the life for arahata. While no matter male or female can become enlightened up to anagami, But after that, after becoming Arahata, that person wouldn't live people's life anymore. So they have to become monk. But because of the rules, it's very, very hard to observe. That's why Buddha knew that it's not for the female to reach that degree of Arahata. But in the Buddha's time, there were those who could become enlightened to the degree of Arahata. That's the reason why Buddha gave permission for female to become bhikkhuni. And he knew that since it's so very hard life, and it will die out little by little until there's no more.
I think if Ms. Thambat want to understand about history of bhikkhu and bhikkhuni, you can go to Thailand and meet Professor Thamananda, and now she is a bhikkhuni. She is a professor of history. She
nghiên cứu
She is a professor of history. She understanding clearly about history of bhikkhu and bhikkhuni on the world. Yeah.
I don't think I know big Professor Dhammananda, but I think I've read the articles written by Bhikkhu Bodhi that you mentioned.
Actually, in my case, after a short time to listen to your Dhamma talk, I don't think I'm a... I have no idea about the difference between a nuns or lay pupil, except the Vinaya, the rules of what the Buddha set up. But when I set up a robe as a nun, I feel I have a motivation, to develop from my way to understand the Buddha teaching. I remember I'm a nun, so I should do kusala things, or don't do bad things, or I think it's a motivation.
Just actually, all our friends here have motivation to study the Buddha's teachings and to behave properly. And everyone here appreciates the value of the teachings because of understanding, beginning to develop understanding about the truth of life. And for that motivation and understanding to develop, it doesn't matter about the clothes, one doesn't have to say I'm this person or that person, because actually no person at all in truth. So understanding more about the value of the teachings is the real motivation, and then one can live easily and not worry about who the money or following the rules or however one lives. Like we had a discussion before with our good friend here, and she appreciates so much that actually what is true, and one doesn't need to say that one is a bhikkhuni to really be motivated to see the value of the Buddha's teachings.
Let us consider, and to be truthful, should anyone who does not understand the teachings at all become monk or bhikkhuni? Because without understanding of the teachings, how can one know what the Buddha's wisdom is? Know nothing at all about the teachings, the truth, and the Vinaya. So how should that person become a monk or bhikkhuni?
When I was young, I traveled to Sri Lanka from my home country, and I had studied quite a lot, but not really a lot about the Buddha's teachings. And like you, I also thought the best way is to become a nun. So I went to live in a temple in Sri Lanka, and I gave away all my possessions, not that I had much. And I arrived at the temple, and I said I wanted to ordain and become a nun. But they told me, oh, there is no order of bhikkhunis today. At that time, this is a long time ago, no kind of ideas about human rights or women's rights or reintroducing. They just said, no, there's no order of bhikkhunis, but you can just live here and dress however you like and follow as many rules as you like. And if you don't want to eat after midday, that's fine. So I did that for quite some time. But then when I started to listen and to the teachings about realities and study the texts more, I realized, actually, for me, I don't need to live in a temple. I don't need to follow a rule about the time of eating. I can go back to my home country, and I can help my family who had quite a lot of problems. I can do my work in the psychiatric center, and I can study Dharma. I can still listen to a jhana, I can read the text, I can associate with friends and travel or handle my own money. So I'm glad that I wasn't able to ordain, because actually it was motivated by the wrong idea anyway, that this kind of life or living in a temple is better for the development of awareness and understanding. But now I realize that was, afterwards I realize that is completely the wrong idea, because when there is understanding, it doesn't depend on being in a particular place or keeping quiet or cutting off from family. This is all the wrong idea, and it's not being truthful to one's real accumulations.
I knew a little bit about your story, and I think I will write this big English to can talking directly with you about, and I can ask you a lot of questions about your story. Yeah, but now I have enough work to talk. Yeah. Because I do listen about the Buddha's sasana 3 years, I know I have a little bit a Buddha. Yeah, I need to learn more and more and more, and just listen to a lot of from all of you, Ajahn, and all of you, and many other master. Because I hear about a lot of story about bhikkhuni. Okay, yeah. But no problem. I think I need by myself understand right or wrong about that.
We've also known Bhikkhu Bodhi for long time, and we have a lot of appreciation for all his work and translations and a lot of respect for this. But we have a different understanding about the importance for the bhikkhu in following all the rules. For example, the Theravada bhikkhu cannot live in a community of Mahayana monks who are not following all the rules and conducting the appropriate confessions and all these details. I think that for us, we consider that really studying all aspects of the teachings, including the Vinaya and preserving the teachings exactly as laid out by the Buddha, without the idea that it can be changed according to modern society, we consider very important to preserve the teachings. So there will be different ideas. It's the same in Thailand. People have very different ideas, and we know very few people who are really interested in preserving the teachings like the Vinaya. So we understand this.
I think layperson or bhikkhu or bhikkhuni can have a condition to understand the reality of the Dhamma teaching. But I think on the other way, that being a bhikkhu or bhikkhuni has some other beneficial. Because I think at the Buddha time, Buddha also encouraged someone suitable to be the bhikkhu or bhikkhuni become that, right? I guess so, I'm not too sure, but should have some beneficial, or something like someone can get attain the some level of understanding and suitable to be a bhikkhu or bhikkhuni. Then yeah, please have to elaborate a little bit more.
The Buddha didn't encourage anyone to become a bhikkhu, only those people who could follow all the rules, as Ajahn said, happily and easily, and who really had the accumulations to live that lifestyle, the lifestyle of the arahat. So not, though at that time, many, many more lay people who he never encouraged to become bhikkhus. And for bhikkhunis, he knew that actually it's not appropriate for most people, as Ajahn said, and in the beginning was reluctant to accept any women as bhikkhunis. But then, as she said, there were some women who could become arahats at that time, for even whilst following those very difficult and demanding rules. So it had to be only the one who could follow all the rules and live that lifestyle very happily and easily, not the one who was going to be disturbed because they cannot handle money or something like this.
Then the nun or the monk living as the life of the arahata, or any, I know that some level of the
I think because there's people. Some confusion here about when you said that they were able to live the life as an arahat, but it doesn't mean that monk is an arahat.
It means, for example, no problem or difficulty at all to happily follow all the rules and live so simply and easily with no thought about money, for example, just live with the four requisites, the bowl, the sewing kit, the robe, and the razor, that's it. Not requesting or asking for anything else, not needing any decoration or mobile phone or anything else. Very happy to live simply with just the minimum necessities for living a life. The real purity of that lifestyle.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that he or she attain any level of the enlightened, right? No? Okay.
And I think when you read about the Vinaya, and you can see that there are many monks who didn't behave properly, and that's why the Buddha set rules. But those monks were not the ones that the Buddha encouraged to become a monk. They became a monk for the wrong reasons. And the Buddha also stated, I think, 7 different reasons to become a monk, and those, many of them are the wrong reasons. So just like today, many people became the monk for the wrong reasons, and because of their accumulations not suitable for the monk's life, that's why the Buddha had to set the rule to make the demarcation line between what is the accumulation to become a monk and what is not.
In the beginning, there were no rules at all, because those who became bhikkhus in the beginning, like the first disciples, they immediately understood the teachings and lived happily and easily, and no inclination at all to cause harm in any of the ways or to behave inappropriately. But as other people ordained who were not already enlightened and who were not able to live that lifestyle so well, different rules were laid down one by one according to the circumstances, so that anyone who ordained must follow all those rules.
I have been heard from a master, not in Vietnamese. He said that for a layperson, becoming a monk need at least 3 or 6, I forgot, monk to cut off the hair
to be a novice before ordaining.
Yes, and the monk who do attend that need to attend the first level of the, it's not correct, right?
Level of enlightenment, you mean, or jnana? First level of? So, not correct. No. There is no requisite period of waiting until ordination. If a person wishes to ordain as a monk, they can ordain immediately if they meet the requirements. We read in the suttas about the Buddha giving ordination immediately, as long as they have the robes and bowl. If they don't have the robe and bowl, he cannot ordain them. There are requirements in the Vinaya after ordination of learning the rules and spending time doing that without going anywhere. Getting to know the Vinaya, which is not just a matter of learning to recite those rules, of course, but understanding the meaning of them.
Like rules about staying in a particular temple during the rainy season and so on, and which kind of temple one can visit. Like also when Jonathan was young, he was a novice, a samanera, for a period, intending to become a bhikkhu. I didn't know him then. I'm sure he followed all the rules very well or perfectly, but it's not even just following the rules, but the intention. He knew for himself that there was still a big tie to his family in Australia, and he wished to assist his family, so this is the reason he disrobed. So one has to know for oneself that one really has the accumulations to become detached from family and friends and all aspects of lay life that one has left. So it's not even just a matter of following the rules, but one's whole way of thinking or approach to life. It's only for the one who really has those accumulations. For us, we realize it's not our accumulations, because we appreciate the opportunity to be with family and friends and other aspects of life, and to be able to look after our money or travel as we like, this kind of thing.
And to become bhikkhuni is much more difficult than becoming a monk or to be ordained a monk, because that person has to observe rules and study before being ordained for 2 years. And if she doesn't understand enough and doesn't follow the rules enough, she cannot be ordained. So it's not just anyone who'd like to be ordained can ordain like this time. Yes, it's in the Vinaya.
I'm very obliged for your teaching, your explanation. Now I feel very, very, very relaxed.
Yes.
You feel very
relaxed.
Relieved.
So we had a chat before to our friend here, and also it's like if one really appreciates it, and the reason, it's like lifting a burden. It's like you don't have to worry all the time about, oh, is this shampoo, does it have a perfume or something like this, or what kind of food, or what is the time for eating, because actually from our point of view looking at you, you're just like our good Dhamma friends, but you're not bhikkhunis because there are no bhikkhunis today. And so then one can study Dhamma and live happily and easily. And like if one chooses to continue to dress like this or live in a temple, it doesn't matter at all. But actually, no problem. If you know you are not a bhikkhuni, no problem to accept money to travel or go where you like. So live happily with the Dhamma.
And we as lay people, we know that, and we're still very happy to support, you know, like we are happy to support any friend who is interested in the Dhamma or anyone according to the conditions. And I think back to the point you said about it's more beneficial or easier for people to study the Dhamma in monk's robe or nun's robe. Earlier, Sarah mentioned about it. So that it's about the personal, for personal benefit or personal. It's not really benefits, but I mean, it's just for personal reasons. But when we consider in the larger context, like the Buddha said, if the Vinaya is lived out, then the Dhamma will survive. And if the Vinaya is not respected, no Dhamma anymore. And I think it's what we can see today, because so many monks and nuns who don't study the teaching and don't follow the Vinaya properly, and it goes to the decline of the teaching. And that is also something to consider. Like when I first started to know about Buddhism, I was very happy whenever I heard about someone ordaining as a monk or nun. And it's not the same today, because now that I understand more about what is a proper monk and what is there's no bhikkhuni anymore, and that is the foremost duty of a monk is to study the Dhamma and only to share that knowledge to the lay people. I think it's very few people today can really live that life and be a keeper of the Dhamma.
You mentioned motivation, that wearing robes helps your motivation, but let's think about sadha. Sadha.
Confidence
in the teaching, right? Sadha does not depend on wearing robes or being a lay person or anything. It is confidence based on one's understanding of the teachings. Whether one is living a lay life or living the life of an ordained person or similar to that, it's a question of the understanding that is developed and the confidence one has in the teachings. And in fact, in terms of access to the Dhamma, it's not necessarily correct to say that living in a community gives more opportunities for hearing the Dhamma, because it depends on the understanding of one's fellow monks and the other people in one's community. And in terms of today's session, for example, you had to get permission to come here, whereas a layperson doesn't need permission to listen to another layperson discuss the Dhamma.
You had to ask the preceptor of your temple if you can come here to the discussions. But for Tamba or Sun or any of us, we don't have to ask anyone permission. So as a layperson, sometimes it's easier to hear the Dhamma. It just depends. And the association one has, the association with good Dhamma friends has to be the association with the right understanding. One may live in the temple surrounded by people who have an interest in Buddhism, but they may all be following a wrong practice. They may all think they need to chant every morning, for example, or follow a particular method. This is not association with the right teachings. If one really has the interest in Dhamma and the confidence, the sadha, as Jonathan mentioned, then that panya, that understanding, will find its way no matter where we live or no matter the circumstances, whether we are in Taiwan or Hong Kong or here or anywhere. If there is the confidence and the understanding, it will develop. And actually at breakfast, Vincent had a question about Samvega. Maybe it's good to mention this in this aspect, because we often talk about how the development of understanding takes so long. And he asked about Samvega, so maybe it's a good topic.
Because we have quite a lot of discussion about Panya develop little by little, so it requires patience, and which is motivated by Panya. But on the other hand, life is so short, right? And there could be some sense of urgency. But to me, it seems very subtle and dangerous, because this so-called sense of urgency can lead to wrong effort. So I really didn't know. I don't have any specific question to ask, but just want to bring this up. We have a sense of urgency and the patience. And as patience is in the 10 perfections, and maybe some vega is also means virya in the 10 perfections, the right virya. Virya. Right. So, yeah, it has to be kusala, otherwise it's not. So, really, I don't have any specific question. Yeah.
You don't have a specific question, but just pointing out that urgency and patience seem to be opposites,
or the sense of urgency can be dangerous. Maybe at the beginning, at some moment, it's kusala, but it can turn out gradually become.
We were discussing about how if there is right understanding of realities now, at that moment, there is confidence, and there is samvega, there is right effort. But often people read about samvega or sense of urgency, and they have an idea that I must do something or must make an effort. Is there anything you would like to add about samvega?
I think that no matter how many times we hear the words like no self, even right now, seeing is seeing, not self. And is it the urgency to know it? Or to develop the understanding little by little, because no one can make haste to understand what everyone heard at all. Impossible. By having the deep understanding of no one, no self, only a conditioned reality in a moment, no one can have such idea of making effort, because actually effort arises with how many cittas. Seeing at this moment doesn't have effort as its factor. So how many cittas are with effort by conditions, not I try to have more effort. See, that's why no one can teach about the truth like Buddha, who became enlightened, and out of his compassion for those who could not understand anything at all. Quite different world. One moment is a world, and now world of many, many moons unknown. So we cannot underestimate the teaching that is so easy that anyone can be urgent to do this at that at all. But to see that, like you said, more relaxed, because it's so far away, it cannot be done at all, but it can be studied carefully with the idea of no self, no one. That is the way to urge people to use effort to do anything. That's not the right teachings at all. No one can do anything. So if one says, do this and do that, it's not understanding about that which cannot be done, because whatever arises must be conditioned, proper conditioned.
And the real Samvega is conditioned by right understanding, right?
It means that Panya, which sees the danger of reality. Like Kun Vincent just said, life is short, so short. The one who sees the danger of life, which is so short, can condition more interest to or more understanding of the teachings so great that it's beyond one's urgency or making her haste to have it at will or any time. B, the more there is the understanding of non-self, the more relaxed is that moment. And what is the real meaning of Sangha? Again, please, just a little bit more. What does Sangha mean? Buddhang saranang kacchami, no doubt. Dhammang saranang kacchami, no doubt. What about Sanghang saranang kacchami? What's the real meaning of Sangha?
I think Sangha is the assembly of people who can, as you explained, who can follow the role of the Buddha and teaching. In easy way, who can obtain the enlightenment.
It's one meaning of Sangha referring to the community of bhikkhus who follow the rules together. But when one talks about paying respect to the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha, it's not just paying respect to an order of monks, but it's paying respect to those who have really studied the teachings and become enlightened and who preserve the teachings and share the teachings with others. So it's to those to whom we owe such gratitude and respect because of those who really studied and really understood the teachings and became enlightened. That's why we're able to listen to the teachings today.
So it has to be those Aryans, no matter male, female, monk or lay people, a member of Sangha, Sanghang Saranang, the refuse, Kacchami, which from hearing and hearing and hearing and developing right understanding, not becoming a Sangha yet until the moment of enlightenment. Those who have become enlightened are Sanghaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchami. So if the teachings is different, one is wrong and one is right, can the wrong one lead to be Sangha? Not at all. That's why the path or the hearing of the teaching should be very careful, no matter who say the truth is the truth. Can you become member of Sangha?
Not yet.
Not yet. So one knows now. It's only those who have become enlightened. As Savaka of the Buddha, so Buddhang, Dhammang, and Sanghang. The Buddha himself has enlightened, and he taught the way to become enlightened, and the person who has become enlightened are those Gacchami, Saraṇaṃ Gacchami.
We were talking the other day about the three kinds of bodhisattva, and can we say that first of all the savaka and the savaka bodhisattva are just those who have listened and become enlightened, or can one say whenever there is development of right understanding one is savaka or savaka bodhisattva?
So there are only eight persons according to Lokuttara, Magga and Pala,
yes.
Are Sangha.
Sangha. And we're talking about Savaka Bodhisattva, can one say...
Before becoming enlightened.
So any time when there is development of understanding of the Buddha's teachings, like now if there's understanding of realities, one is Savaka Bodhisattva right. At this moment, yes. Anything else, Nina, you were asking?
No, I was with Kurupadon. I was talking about it, but didn't quite understand it. So I'm happy that I can hear more about it.
So what is the meaning of bodhisattva in that context?
The Savaka person who had developed understanding in order to become Buddha, and the Paccheka bodhisattva mm-hmm. to become Paccheka, and Savaka Bodhisattva, those who develop right understanding to become Savaka, not the Buddhas.
Mm-hmm. Because usually the word Bodhisattva is understood to refer only to the people who aspire to become a Buddha. So
Sammasambuddha?
Sammasambuddha.
That is Mahasattva. Bodhisattva. But there are also Paccheka Bodhisattva and Savaka Bodhisattva.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the meaning of listening
mm-hmm.
if it's not Bodhisattva?
So Bodhisattva is being aspiring to become enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Can I find some text where this is explained? I would like that very much.
Yes, we can have Kun Kampan.
Yes, I would like very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's why it need to understand each word perfectly.
Like now, no matter how we are dressed or where we come from, when there is truthfulness and understanding of realities now as taught by the Buddha, at those moments we are Savaka, the following, and it's Savaka Bodhisattva, it's following and understanding the truth to become enlightened.
So it depends on the teachings whether it's right or wrong, no matter who. That's why one listens to the teachings carefully, each word.
And we also had a chat this morning at breakfast about how sometimes people may think in Vietnam or Thailand or anywhere that, oh, this is
this Ajahn's teaching or that Ajahn's teaching, or this is one idea, but another teacher, another respected teacher has another idea. But actually, what we're discussing about understanding of realities or what is right according to the Vinaya, it's not Ajahn's idea or Ajahn's theory or our idea. It's what is taught by the Buddha. So actually, it is the Buddha's teachings that we pay respect to and follow, because any teacher, if what they teach is correct and right, it can be checked and found in the texts. So it's not just one teacher's idea. So if another teacher or another master says something different, okay, have a look in the text, have a look in the Vinaya, check for yourself, because this is the way that the Buddha's teachings are preserved and the way that we really pay respect to the Buddha.
And the Buddha said that all true words are my words, no matter who says. So it's not my word. The true words, the word of truth, all the words of truth.
What is taught by his followers or anyone at that time or now, if it's correct and true, it's Buddha Vachana. It's not their idea. No one else can work it out or come to the right conclusions by themselves. It's only because of the Buddha Vachana, the truth as taught by the Buddha. So if Ajahn or anyone talks about realities, about seeing now or visible object now, it's not their idea or theory. It's Buddha Vachana. It's what is taught by the Buddha. And this is the way to have less attachment or less blind following to a particular teacher, but more real confidence or respect or understanding of what the Buddha taught.
That's why one has to be so truthful to the truth of the teachings of reality. So there are Buddhang Saranang Kacchami, great respect to the virtues of Buddha, who taught us by way to attain enlightenment. So it is Dhammang, the words of enlightenment are Dhammang Saranang Kacchami. And Sanghang is the listener who follow the teachings until become enlightened. That is Sanghang Saranang Kacchami. If one is not truthful to the truth, it cannot be Dhammang Saranang Kacchami, no matter who says.
I agree. Ajahn just said, just did, and Khun Chara just did. When I listen to the Ajahn, all of you and others matter, I see having a different. I talk to my master, Fante, why there are many different understanding of Buddha. I think I need to learn. I need to a lot of time to learn Vinaya, to understand. Fante said, why don't you ask this matter or that matter? I said, I think I cannot that. I cannot say to this matter, that matter said so. I need to do. And one time, there are a rain. A rain at both of you. Do you learn Why do you have understanding? Listen to Ajahn this. Do you verify Jonathan's answer? I think I will learn from to watch. Listen, pondering and consider.
We talked in Ho Chi Minh about Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, Bhavanamaya Panya. So like now, there is some understanding according to what has been heard, Sutamaya Panya. But if there's not a lot of careful consideration, like when we go away, do we consider more or do we just forget it and just follow attachment as usual? If there's not a lot of very careful consideration, Chintamaya Panya, then there cannot be Bhavanamaya Panya, the really firm development of understanding, the understanding of realities directly. So it takes a lot of understanding about what is heard and a lot of understanding from further consideration, like you just mentioned.
So, are you Bhikkhuni now? To be truthful. No, you're not? Are you glad to know that? Or are you, sad to know that? Be sad or be glad to know that?
I don't. I am not sad and I'm not happy, because I think I in the time learn and listening and considering. Yeah.
But to realize the truth.
But I really want to have a nun. Yeah.
Yeah. You are saved from very dangerous.
Yeah, I am.
Situation.
Yeah. I listen to Ajahn explain. I will concentrate. I will learn and will listen. Yeah.
I appreciate very much about the truth. No matter from anyone, and especially when they can understand the truth.
I'm sorry, I don't enough work to talk to describe my thinking. Yeah, I hope next I will talk more about that. Yeah, I have a lot of questions I want to ask Ajahn and not for you, but now I think I have not yet knowledge. I have not yet understanding to say about that. Yeah.
And I think for you, you are happy to know that you are not Bhikkhuni now. Is that right? Yes. Because in the beginning, when one hears, maybe it's a little shocking or surprising, so it takes time to consider. But when one considers and reflects and one understands that one can live happily and easily, and as Ajahn said, be spared from very dangerous situation or bad karma, then one will be very happy.
Because I understand that Ajahn said that Ajahn have said that I understand too. Many people have said that too to do that. Yeah. No problem. I have. Now I'm not really Bhikkhuni, not really, yeah, I practice.
we appreciate the truthfulness and the understanding a lot, because it's not easy. The path is not easy at all.
And it's not hindrance anymore. Otherwise, it hinder the growth of understanding when one does not realize what the truth is about different life.
And I think regardless of the robes and the appearance, if you follow a life of virtues, then you get the respect from others. Like, we very much respect Achan and, you know, all of you for your virtues and understanding of the Dharma. So it doesn't really depend on the robes.
Now we know that it's just the way you like to dress, that's all. Like us, we can dress any style.
And like Tom said, we're all still very happy to share and support and assist. It doesn't matter at all.
Kunsara, in the past, Kun Sara said about Bhikkhu Phudiya. I don't care. What mean is you slowly again for me.
I said that we all have a lot of respect and appreciation for all his work translating suttas and many, many texts. So we appreciate this work and the kusala very much. This is one point. And the second point is that we've known him a long time. We understand that he has a different idea about modern sangha or the restoration of the order of nuns or this. We don't agree with these ideas. Yes, yes. But for other things, we have a lot of respect or appreciation.
It means that we respect all the truth, no matter from whom.
And I think also it's good to bear in mind that, like Jonathan already mentioned, that in the Theravada tradition, since long time, the order of bhikkhuni is considered no longer existing. The official position of the Theravada. So since a long time,
I don't sure I know all about that, but I know history, blah blah blah. Yeah.
What started the discussion at the beginning today was Ajahn mentioned that some people in Thailand ask if she will agree to there being an order of bhikkhunis because of modern human rights or female rights, and then maybe many more people will listen to her if she agrees to this, or maybe the life of the government will be easier. And her reply was one word: never. Because of her great respect for the Buddha's teachings. If one has great respect for the Buddha's teachings, no matter whether it means anyone else agrees with one or not, one will never agree to any change in the Buddha's teachings, because the Buddha Vachana, the Buddha's teachings, cannot be changed.
I know, and I know too. My master, Miss Mila-chan, the same, very different, but no problem. If I want to go listen Achan, no problem, you go, yeah.
Because listening to the truth, no matter from whom, is listening to the words of the Buddha.